Now we continue with our sermons on the Christian soldier. Our title this afternoon is The Enemy. And instead of reading Ephesians 6, I want to read from Revelation chapter 12. So let's turn to Revelation chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12, verse 1. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth and pain to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his heads. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, and it cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. And she brought forth a man child, who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And the child was caught up unto God and to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she had a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Verse 12, Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he had but a short time. And when the dragon saw that he was cast into the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. And to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time from the face of the serpent. And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. We turn now to Ephesians 6, and we want to read two verses. Ephesians 6, verse 12 and verse 13. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. The enemy, we have noticed, is terrible. Here the text calls him devil, and constantly he is seizing opportunity to bring down those who belong to Jesus Christ. We have a warfare, brethren, a war against the evil one. And we want to look at the enemy this afternoon as we consider these two verses. But first of all, let me tell you something about the warfare that is described in chapter 12, Revelation, as an introduction. Briefly, Revelation chapter 12 tells us that the red dragon, that is the devil himself, has throughout the entire history that purpose and intention to destroy the church of Jesus Christ. The woman is the church. The woman here in Revelation chapter 12 is described as giving birth to a man child. And that, of course, is the Lord Jesus Christ. And the devil has been waiting for ages for that man child to be born. And when he was born, of course, the devil takes opportunity to destroy him, but he was defeated. But then Revelation chapter 12 tells us that although he could not defeat the man child, but he attacks those who belong to him. Verse 17. And the dragon was wroth with the woman, that is the church, and went to make war with the remnant of his seed, that is every one of us that belongs to the church of Jesus Christ. We are those that keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Now in Revelation chapter 12, at the same time, there is that description of the evil one. He is the devil. He is the Satan. He is the accuser of the brethren. And we want to look at that first of all. The text here in Ephesians 6 verse 12 tells us something about our enemy. Verse 11, he is the devil. Verse 12, he works evils. Our enemy in scripture is described for us in many ways. The devil, meaning the one who accuses. In Revelation chapter 12, Satan. That means the adversary, the enemy. Other names are given to him. The evil one. Jesus says he is the prince of Beelzebub, the prince of darkness. And of course, Paul mentioned about the devil many times in his letters. And one time in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 4, he says he is the god of this world. He is not truly God, but the world outside the church worships him as God, worships his philosophies, worship his religion, worship him even as a person. He is the god of this world. And then to describe how fierce he is, Revelation chapter 12 paints for us the picture of the devil as that great red dragon. Fiery, fierce, and devouring. That is the devil. Now here Ephesians 6 verse 12 tells us the devil, however, does not operate alone. He has a network of fallen angels, demons, his cohorts. He is like, for example, a CEO in the office. He makes decisions and then he sends out his subordinates or his workers in order to carry out his decisions and his methods and strategies. And this is how the devil operates. You must understand that the devil is not like God. He is not everywhere present. Cannot be here and then there at the same time. In other words, when the devil was in the wilderness tempting Jesus Christ, he was not anywhere else. Because he cannot be everywhere present. But he attacks the church and society all the time by sending out his demons, his cohorts. Now, it is of course very terrible to be attacked by demons, attacked by their philosophies, tempted by the seducing methods. But it's far more worse if there is a time in which the devil himself, as a person, come to lure you into temptation. The devil, of course, is not here. If he's here, he's not somewhere else. If he is not here, he is somewhere, loitering, looking around, waiting for someone he wants to accuse. Now, here he operates with many cohorts. He has a networking of many demons. And what we have in verse 12 really is a description of the demons. the fallen angels. Because verse 12 says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Now, this verse here, brethren, describes for us the power and the status and the identity of angels, fallen angels who have become demons. Now, the warfare here is described as one that is fierce, not against flesh and blood. So, Christian people are not supposed to march down the streets with machine guns in order to kill the demons. No such physical warfare involved. But the warfare is deeper, against principalities, against powers. Now, the word principalities here literally means rulers, those with authority. Now, some commentators, and there are a number of commentators who take this view, some, for example, say that here principalities and powers refer to two ranks in the world of demons. John MacArthur, for example, says that principalities refer to one rank. These are demons who, for example, have authority, higher in position. And then powers refer to another rank of demons, those who are especially sent out and mobilized with abilities to attack. Now, I don't think that here the text refers to two ranks of demons. It refers to the fact that demons do indeed have ranks. That is, they have authority. They are given authority to rule the world according to the devil, and then they have power as well to bring chaos into this world. They have rank, that is, they have authority. They have ability, they have power to create havoc and chaos in this world. Then, next, the verse describes for us the sphere and the domain in which these demons rule. We fight against rulers of the darkness of this world. The rulers of the darkness of this world. Now, again, here there are some who say that these words here are saying that demons have penetrated into the political arena. That is, that the demons have taken control of the powers in politics. Pharaoh in Egypt, Nebuchadnezzar in Babylon, and the Roman Empire during the days of the Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore, here they are saying that these demons have begun to rule this world politically, so that all the havoc and chaos in politics and in society are created by the demons. Now, I have no doubt that that indeed is the case, that demons have also penetrated into the political arena. But however, I do not think that these words here tell us that demons rule this world by taking control of the political powers. The powers against the rulers of darkness of this world merely is telling us that they rule over this world that is now in darkness. Now, to understand this, let us turn to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2. Wherein in time past he walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now work in the children of disobedience. Now here Paul is telling us that you have Christians who have been saved, who have been converted, are those who have been taken out of this world, taken out of disobedience and ignorance. Once we were lost, we were like children of disobedience, under the control of the prince of the power of this air. Now, the figure darkness in the Bible many times refers to moral darkness and ignorance. And this is what here the Bible is telling us about the demons. They rule in this world that is now darkened by ignorance, darkened by disobedience. In fact, they work this spirit of disobedience and darkness in society. That is how powerful the demons are. So it is not that here they rule in the political arena, taking control of the leaders and government. but they rule in every corner in the streets, working the spirit of disobedience and darkness. And then the verse continues to say that we fight against the spiritual wickedness in high places. Now this describes for us what the demons really are and what they really do. They work wickedness in high places. Of course, wickedness is everywhere, not just here in Singapore, not just in the United States, but it's everywhere in this fallen world. But how did wickedness come into this world? How do demons work this wickedness? This text tells us that here the demons work wickedness in high places. Now high places here refer to a sphere and a realm that physical eyes cannot see. That is, not the earth. They work in a different sphere, in a different realm, in a dimension that is unseen. Bible speaks of that sphere, that realm and dimension as high places. The low place will be the earth, the high places will be unseen places, invisible, spiritual, belonging to a different sphere. It is in that sphere that demons plan their wickedness, plot their wickedness, and bring wickedness into the earth. In other words, their operation is unseen. You don't see them with physical eyes. They operate in high places. But yet it is in those places, in that place, that they work wickedness and bring wickedness to us. And that is terrifying, isn't it? Fact is, they're surrounded by demons, though our eyes do not see. They're constantly plotting wickedness, though we do not see. But we do feel the effect of the wickedness. We do see corruption in society. And we ourselves, because of our fallen nature, do know the reality of evil. We fight against principalities, powers, rulers of darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness. That means we fight against disobedience, ignorance, heresies, all kinds of infidelity, all kinds of disrespect for authority, all kinds of sins, all kinds of ignorance. Now we need to ask the question, as we think about devil and demons and evils, what is the origin of the devil and evils in this world? It's important that we understand this. Notice that in Revelation chapter 12, as the Bible tells us about the history of our spiritual warfare, Revelation chapter 12 tells us about the origin of the devil and the origin of evil. So let's turn back to Revelation chapter 12. Why is this world so evil, so wicked and corrupted? Now we raise this point not just because we want to be curious about what happens in the high places, but we raise this point because we are concerned about a very practical issue. Fathers, mothers constantly ask the question, should my children watch this movie? Should they be reading this book? Especially when it is sorcery, especially when it is about fantasy. And then at home we struggle with, for example, children who carelessly surf the net and then enter into sites that they should not be watching. These are spiritual battles that we have to fight. Now these are practical issues. Why is it that there is so much of all this chaos and evils in the world? So Revelation chapter 12 gives us an explanation of this origin. Revelation chapter 12 verse 3, and there appeared another wonder in heaven. Behold, a great red dragon, having seven heads and ten horns, and seven crowns upon his heads. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, that is the angels, and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. Then verse 9, And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Now, first of all, the presence of evil here in this world can be explained from what I call a pre-cosmic fall. Now, what is a pre-cosmic fall? The word cosmic means universe. A pre-cosmic fall, that means a fall that took place even before the entire world, including the universe, fell. Now, when did the entire universe fell? The whole cosmos, the world and everything, including humanity. That, of course, happened in Genesis chapter 3 when Adam, that first man, disobeyed God. Of course, in Reformed theology, we are very clear in our thinking. That is, Adam did not fall as an individual. He fell as a representative. He represented the human race, so that in his fall, we all fell. But the consequence of that fall is also this. When Adam fell, the entire cosmos fell with Adam. So that the whole universe is not in proper order. Recently, some astronauts and scientists in the US discovered another new planet. And they're submitting it for scientific verification. They will continue to find many mysteries and disorder in the universe. Because in Adam's fall, the whole cosmos fell. Now, when I say that there is a pre-cosmic fall, I'm saying that there was another fall that took place even before Genesis 3. And this is what really Revelation chapter 12 was alluding to when it spoke of the devil, now with his tail, that is the red dragon, with his tail sweeping one third of the stars in heaven and bringing them to fall. Now there are two passages that are important as we think about the origin of the devil and these evil demons. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 14, Isaiah 14, verse 12. Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12 to 17. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? And this is his name at that time in heaven. O Lucifer, son of the morning, how art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thy heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. Here, although it speaks especially concerning the king of Babylon, nevertheless, these words here at the same time describe the fall of Lucifer, the angel in heaven, who became Satan. There's another passage, Ezekiel 28. Let's turn to the prophecy of Ezekiel 28. Verses 1-19. Now we don't have to read this passage, but here you also will find another description that is similar to what we read in Isaiah chapter 14. That is the fall of Satan. Now, the fall of Satan, of course, brought evil to the world. Sometimes when people ask me, what is the origin of evil? I take them beyond Genesis 3 to what we have here in these two passages, Isaiah 14, Ezekiel 28, Revelation chapter 12. This is the origin of evil. When Lucifer, the angel, rebelled against God with pride, and he brought with him one third of the angels, and then he created havoc, not only in the heavens, but also upon the earth. That is why you have to know that many times, including the book of Revelation, that God says that in the return of Jesus Christ, there will be a new heaven and a new earth. Because there was a fall in heaven, and heaven will be renewed. There was rebellion, there was sin, there was fighting. But the effects of the fall are this: Lucifer, of course, became Satan. An angel who was created good became the father of all lies, became the great dragon, became the one who is the wicked one, the accuser of the brethren. Number two, there was one third of the angels that became demons. The good angels became demons. A change in character, a change in quality, and became extremely wicked. And then the third effect is this: they were cast into the world, according to Revelation chapter 12, for a present time. This present time means, according to Revelation 12, that the devil himself knew that he has only a short period of time to create havoc in the world. Now this is important. They were cast into the world only for this present time. Revelation chapter 12 tells us the devil himself knows that it is only for a limited time, so that he will work greater evil when he knows that his time is coming to an end. Now bear in mind that fact, because I want to come back to that. Next, in that fall that took place in heaven, the angels and Lucifer did not lose their angelic powers. Not that they became men. And this is why they're so terrifying. They retained their powers as angels. They retained their powers as angels. They have supernatural powers. And this is why we must never fool ourselves to think that we are fighting against flesh and blood. We are fighting against angels who have fallen and who still carry with them angelic powers. That is why 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 tells us that when the man of sin appears, he will do and perform great signs and wonders in heaven and upon the earth. So great is the power of the angels. Next, the effect of the fall. Number 5, while they did not lose their supernatural powers, they did, however, become absolutely wicked and demonic. They became diabolical, deceitful, cunning. And this caused me to wonder. Angels created good, absolutely good. No, I won't say absolutely, perfectly good, because God alone is absolute. Nevertheless, what is perfect became absolutely wicked, absolutely demonic, absolutely anti-God, and we're facing that kind of powers. And it is through their cunningness and deceit that the world also became cunning and evil and wicked. That is why Jesus says, as he spoke to the Pharisees, the religious leaders, "You are the children of the devil, because you lie, and the devil is the father of lies." Ephesians 2, "You are the children of disobedience." You know what this means? All these words in scripture tells us sinful men carry with them the image of the devil. We don't look like devils, of course. Sometimes in cartoons and comics, they paint devil with horns and tail, red, carry a fork. Nobody looks like this. But it's true that we carry the image of the devil in our fall. We lost the image of God, that is the righteousness and holiness and true knowledge. Nevertheless, we are still image bearers, so that we still can contain that image in conversion. But what happened was that we lost that image of God. And that's why Jesus says, we carry the image of the devil. Your disobedience, your pride, your wickedness. And this explains why there's so much evil and wickedness in the world. We carry the image of the devil in our form. It is very important, brethren, to know the evils in this present time. Now I say this because Ephesians chapter 6 verse 12 and 13, as it describes for us the spiritual warfare, it tells us that we have to stand, verse 13, in the evil day. We have to stand in the evil day. Now here Paul, or the Bible here, is really teaching us that when the moment of temptation comes, that is the moment of evil. Stand in the evil day. The evil day is any time when temptations come to draw you away from God, temptations come to cause you to sin, that is that evil moment, or called here the evil day. The evil can be in any form, can be a very decent appearing temptation, can be a controversy to divide the church, or can be a period of persecution. Sometimes when you read the press or you read the magazine, social critics and journalists often say each period has its evils, which is correct. Every moment is of temptation is an evil moment. But nevertheless, there are times when evil become very open and rampant and becomes very violent. For example, during the times of Hitler in World War II, during the times of Pharaoh in Old Testament history, or during the times of Nero under the New Testament, when that king and emperor persecuted the church. Each period has its evils. Each moment of temptation is an evil moment. But I want to put forth to you that there are times when evils are very open and rampant, and our modern times also have its evils. Now I want to make a point that the days will be more and more evil, not less and less evil. Now, I do not want you to be deceived by the devil, because many times we look at society and we look at the world, we see progress. Definitely there's progress. Progress in science, progress in economics, progress in education, progress in the quality of life. There's certainly progress, but from an outward point of view. But at the same time, I want to prove to you from the scriptures that evil is not becoming less and less. Let's face up to reality, especially young people. Evil is becoming increasingly more and more, not less and less. Let me show you first of all from 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. So let's turn to that, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Verse 3. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, all that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showeth himself that he is God. Now the Bible here tells us that there will come a time when the son of perdition, the Antichrist, will be revealed. Verse 7, and then verse 6 and 7, and now you know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken away out of the way. In other words, the mystery of iniquity will grow and grow, increase more and more, especially in the day when the son of perdition, the Antichrist, will come. I remember in school, that is in seminary, we did an exegesis of this text, and we had many questions about verse 7. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken away out of the way. Now what is this referring to? Now, the one who lets and controls, when he is taken away, then the evil will be unleashed fully and completely. And we came to the conclusion that in verse 7, the one who restrains the evil in society presently is the Holy Spirit. And there will come a time when the Holy Spirit will withdraw, and He will then let the Antichrist, the man of evil, to unleash all his evils upon the earth. There will be greater evil. Now the second passage I want to refer you to is Revelation 20. Revelation 20. To show you that there will be greater evil in the last days. Revelation 20. Verse 7, and when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan will be loosed out of his prison. We're living in a period of gospel preaching, where the devil, Satan, is bound for 1,000 years. That is a long time. It is in this 1,000 years that the white horse of Revelation goes out riding and preaching the gospel, conquering for Christ. Satan is bound presently. But there will come a time when he will be loosed and evil will be unleashed. Brethren, there is such a thing called the development of evil. There is the development of grace. There is a development also of evil. There is a cup of iniquity which is not fully filled. And you will come a time when fullness of evil will be revealed. Evil is growing, not lessening. So it is important as we think about the spiritual warfare and principalities and powers to think about what are the evils in this present time. What are the things that we fight against? What are the evils peculiar to our day and age? This is what I see, and I'm sure it is what also you see. Number one, an increasing level of lawlessness. When Antichrist comes, the Bible in 2 Thessalonians 2 verse chapter 2 says that he is the man of lawlessness. But now already we see increasing level of lawlessness. Disrespect in the classroom. Disrespect for family authorities. Disrespect for public office. Increasing lawlessness. You know, the law means nothing to the people today. I'll pay the fine, I'll go to jail, and then I have many ways to resume my life. Lawlessness. The spirits are going against authorities. People often cover this up by using political funds or social funds called human rights. Everybody insists on their rights today. Children's rights. Parents' rights. Human rights, homosexual rights, all these are fronts to fight against what is lawful, increasing lawlessness. We fight against that. We fight against moral disintegration. Now, a big term, but it means this, a breaking down of morality. Moral disintegration. And this is what the demons work in high places to bring on society. Moral disintegration. People are no longer concerned about what is right and what is wrong. I followed this past week the discussion over 95.8 about casinos and gamblings. You know what the average Singaporean is saying? We Chinese gamble so much. We already cross over to Johor and to Malaysia and to Indonesia to gamble. What is the big thing about putting a casino here in Singapore in Sentosa? It's nothing at all. After all, this is what we want to do. So why not just put it here? People are not concerned anymore about the effects of a thing like this. They're not able to discern what is right, what is wrong. And not just in matters like this about gambling, but also about sexual orientation. My wife had a conversation with one of her friends, and she's a teacher in an all-girls school here in Singapore. You know what she said? And of course I knew this all along because I belong to all-boys school. She said that there's so much lesbianism that goes on in girls' school. I told my wife that in this day and age when all these things are open, I'm very against boys' school and girls' school. If I have a boy, he dates a girl, he dates two girls, at least he is very right in his sexual orientation. I worry when boys go to boys' school or girls go to girls' school. In this day and age, when everything is so open and they fight for their rights, people are losing the sense of morality in the discernment of ethics. What is right, what is wrong? Number three, there's a problem of a desensitized conscience. Conscience is made to be very sensitive, so that when God tells us what is wrong, we know that that is wrong and we sense that guilt. But people today don't feel the guilty thing anymore. Do you remember the case of Anthony Love? How he schemed to murder his wife using one very naive teenager. After that, he felt nothing about murdering his own wife. Where is the conscience today? Demons have worked so much wickedness in society. Their conscience is so hardened and desensitized. Then there is the problem of how people view God today. One of the best methods to make people to disbelieve in Jesus Christ is to lessen the character of God. And this is what the devils are doing. Don't put atheism in society. Give them a God that is on the same level as them. Then God will be very appealing to the modern society. There's a problem of what I call the trivialization of God. I mentioned that in the book I wrote, the trivialization of God. There's no need to define God in traditional terms and say that God is so holy and pure, God is so full of majesty, worthy of worship. Just lessen God, bring down God to the level of the common people, where God becomes a buddy. And then people no longer fear God. And then when the right gospel comes, that is intolerable doctrines. People have no sense of the holiness and of the greatness of God. God is but a buddy. And I wonder whether this is like what they did with Superman last time. Last time, when I was not a Christian, I read a lot of all those comics, Superman, kept them, and then burned them away finally. Superman was full of superpowers. No one could beat him. But then the sales went down. So they had to save Superman. You know what they did? They came out with an issue that Superman was dead. Everybody bought that. So to make more money, they had another issue a year later. They revived Superman. And then they make more money. And then now you know what? They made Superman to be a man who can be beaten like anybody else. And everybody loves to read Superman that can be beaten today. And this is what society has done to God. Lessen his quality. Make him like everybody else. So that when I sin, well, this God is not so holy to judge me. It's okay. Not too big a problem. Lastly, what is the problem? What is the kind of wickedness the demons are working today in this day and age? Experimentation with pagan religions. I worry when I look at all this promotion for all these new shows and new movies, whether television or cinemas. Sorcery, charm. And these Hollywood people are making use of all this sorcery in order to appeal to people's likes for fantasies. But have we forgotten who we are fighting against? Principalities and powers, spiritual wickedness in high places. It's appealing, isn't it? People think in terms of pictures today. Give them fantasies. They enjoy it. They'll be distorted in their thinking. Why is it important then that we must know our enemy in a spiritual warfare? Not to know is already half defeated. But let me give you one good reason, and with this I close, why it is very important for you young people, parents, and every one of us to know the present evils in our day and age. My chief reason is this. Earlier on, I mentioned the comments of some Bible scholars who said that demons have taken over political arenas. which of course I agree with that too. But what worries me is this, and the thing that I see most is this. Demons have taken control of a mass media. You cannot disagree. Demons have taken control of a mass media. This is expected, because it is through all this mass media that the demons and the devil will affect the thinking of our children, distort their mind, and make them be very corrupted in their mindset. The present days are evils. So here the exhortation again, to bring you back to this, it is to stand against the wiles of the devil. Do you know how the devil attacks you? Do you know how the devil brings evil in society? I hope what I've mentioned today has given you some insights and made you realize that indeed this is a very terrible fighting and warfare. But again, the victory already is won. We fight. We still have to conquer. And we do so to dispel these devils, these demons, these ideologies, these philosophies, these vain thinkings, and to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ to save souls. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we know that we have a big spiritual warfare to fight. We pray that you will strengthen our soul and conscience, our mind and heart, so that we do not become ignorant of the wiles of the devil. We pray that you will strengthen us with the word of God, with faith and prayer, and the hope of salvation, so that we will continue to stand fast for the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray this in His name. Amen.